Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 105 says, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Among the things they are to make known he brought them forth out of Egypt, this psalm says, and there wasn't a feeble one in their midst. It's hard for me not to preach on every verse in Psalm 105, because it's a record of God performing miracles on their behalf. But I'm going to stick to that 37th verse. He brought them forth, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. The King James adds the word person, by the way. I'll shock some people when I say this. But the literal has it, there wasn't a feeble thing in the midst. Nothing feeble. They didn't even have a feeble goat. They didn't have a feeble cow. They didn't even have a feeble chicken. I mean, they were going to come to the Red Sea. They were going to come to a wilderness area with no water. They were to come to Rephidim, which means place of rest. And yet it would look like a dry wash, cactus, rocks, and dirt, and anything but restful. He would try their faith. He would lead them on a journey to the promised land, but he at least brought them out healed, delivered from Egypt's bondage, the furnace of sin that God had shown to Abram years earlier, not a feeble one in their midst. He healed them. That night he healed them, the night of the Passover. Everybody that knows about the Passover, which is the Old Testament type and prelude and memorial event that Christ fulfilled at Calvary and was the event that he was keeping in John Mark's mother's house the night he was betrayed when he transformed it into the communion, which is why we ask you, keep on doing it in houses. You're closer to what Jesus did than the high masses of today. It was a household memorial happening to memorialize God's deliverance from the type of sin, Egypt, into the walk of faith, which is what Christianity is. They were delivered from the consequences of sin by the lamb slain at the threshold of the door and the blood containing the life of the soul put on the doorposts and the lintel. And they went in and shut the door. It didn't matter what their history, their theological knowledge, their past performance, the size of their house. The Passover angel, who was the death angel to anyone else in Egypt, took the blood as the token of obedient faith and trust in God's promise to deliver those who did it, and passed over the house from which we get the name. Inside, they ate the roasted lamb, staff in hand. There's a lot of meaning in that. Staff in hand, sandals on their feet, and eating in haste as preparation for an immediate journey. You get healed to keep going on, not to lay around. They were going now on a journey of faith through a wilderness area faced with obstacles to a promised land, which is the type not of heaven. Canaan is not a type of heaven. If it is, there must be some awful, monstrous giants and Philistines in heaven, or Philistines. How would you like to get to heaven if Jordan River is death and your first task in heaven walking around some Jericho till the walls fall down? Canaan's not heaven. Canaan is the type of spiritual rest, faith, promise obtained here and now. Well, all promises have the double fulfillment meaning, as heaven is a type of accomplished promises of God. In that sense it is. But Canaan is an arena of faith's operation where you take the lot. In fact, intercessory prayer comes from a word in Joshua 19 that has to do with the lots that were given to God's people, and they were to then take it, possess it, and occupy it. But before God sent them on that faith journey that had enough problems, He healed them. They ate the roasted lamb for strength. And whatever other difficulties they had on the trip, I know you that have seen the Ten Commandments, Cecil B. DeMille reinterpreted it, and you got a few people on crutches and crippled and carried out, you know. You should have read Psalm 105. There wasn't a feeble one in their midst. God healed them. You read in the book of Exodus, they went out harnessed. The word in the original translates literally groups of five. Five's the number of grace. You fly over it in mind's eye like a bird, and you'd see 2.25 million people perfectly synchronized in groups of five. As you look down, and remember the accuser of the brethren, Satan, he was looking on. God was saying to him, hey, they're not going out of here in groups of numbers seven, perfection. They're not going out of here in perfection. They're not even going in groups of six, human effort. They're going in groups of five. Look down there and see what it is. Solely an act on my part of unmerited favor. Most of them are like the one that reacted to Moses. These are the same people that grumbled at the price of God's deliverance, the plagues that were put on Egypt. These are the same people just a few days earlier had complained about God's deliverer Moses. These are people that contain the ones that were spared Passover night, not because they deserved it, but because the blood was on the door. And 2.25 million people march out with a graphic display, unmerited favor, grace, God's gift. Included in that unmerited favor, divine healing. Not a feeble one in their midst. Now, the whole book of Hebrews in the New Testament is written to teach that whatever the Old Covenant provided, we're better off. There's nothing the Old Covenant gave them in God's promises that is not augmented and improved upon, bettered in some way in Christ. We have a better priest. We have better promises. We have better inheritance. Everything better. Now God, in the most graphic type of the walk of faith and deliverance from sin, drives two truths home, which is the truth I drive home at this table every time we go to it. It's a work of grace, not of anything that we can do to qualify. Oh, I know the twisted scripture of 1 Corinthians 11. I teach on it every Sunday. Eat and drink, unworthy, eat and drink, damnation. Only problem with that, Paul didn't say that. And if you let me slip it by you, it shows how casually the subject's been treated. What Paul said was, if you eat and drink unworthily, you eat and drink damnation. Unworthily is an adverb. Adverbs modify verbs, not nouns. Adverbs modify the act, not the actor. What Paul was addressing was the manner of partaking, not the qualifications of the partaker. And he defined what it is. If you eat and drink unworthily, you're eating and drinking, not discerning the Lord's body. like the Corinthians with their eyes and mind elsewhere, and not realizing, focusing in on, appropriating the meaning of this table. Jesus said, when you eat and drink, remember me. Remember what he is about to do and fulfill as he makes the Passover fulfilled in himself, until Paul can point to him and say, Christ is our Passover. And again, two things were addressed. Why Isaiah chapter 53 says, who hath believed our report? It's unbelievable. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Nobody's worthy. You eat and drink worthily when you recognize that. And at this table, instead of fearing and being in guilt and wondering if you can partake, understand this flung the door open of access. There are other places where you can examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith, but at this table is only one focus of attention. The one who is worthy, who was slain that we might live. That's why they can sing the blood's never lost its power. He only had to die once. That's why the mass that recreates and reenacts it is so ridiculous. Hebrews 1 says he sat down. He did it all by himself and then sat down. Job finished. And way back there in history, God laid on him the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, and every sin yet to be committed. It was already laid on him. He paid the price in full, and God can freely give salvation to anybody that he chooses, whosoever will. He has chosen to give it to those that faith in him and appropriate to themselves his promise because he said it. I reverse the order today. You are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Wherever you are in the sound of my voice, if you don't have fruit of the vine, get water and in faith still partake. I'll take of these elements with anybody that will look and see Jesus. He died for you. He died for me. Unworthy as we may be, we still march to glory in groups of five. And we get there. And I lift this cup in gratitude today in the knowledge that Christ died for me. And if no one else had responded but me, he still would have done it. And I can say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. As we take it together in Jesus' name. Now we come to the subject I was on earlier. Why are there two elements at this table? Why were there two elements at the Passover he took? They put blood on the door to escape the consequence, death, which is the penalty for sin. They ate the roasted lamb for strength, and they came forth not a feeble one in their midst. There's bread as well as the wine. If all that's being dealt with is sin, all you need is the symbol of the blood. Isaiah looked ahead and said, with his stripes ye are healed. Peter, looking back, said, with his stripes ye were healed. I don't need to touch you. I don't need to have any particular gift of healing working in me. I don't need to call out your sickness. Your sickness, my Bible tells me, your sickness, whatever it is, has a double happening. As every sin was laid on Christ, every sickness. The sickness in my body today, he already bore it. I step out from underneath the weight of my sins as in faith I discern and act on God's promise to have transferred it onto him, and we pass out from underneath, as Galatians 3 says, and stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. I know whatever I feel in my body, God's word says he laid on him my sicknesses and my infirmity, and he bore the full weight, the verbs in Isaiah 53 says, and he carried it away from us. same faith, with the heart man believeth, with the mouth the declaration is made, says, with his stripes I was healed. You see the sickness, I feel the sickness. God's word proclaims, he bore it, and I can walk out from underneath it. Take this bread wherever you are and start acting on that promise today. And with your heart, believe and make it your declaration. Personalize it and say it with me. With his stripes, I was healed. And take it now and believe and act on it in Jesus' name.